This summer, several of the women from our church at Heritage Baptist Church went to Glorietta, and every day they sang a song that just grabbed my heart. I loved it. And it goes something like this. All day long I've been with Jesus. It has been a glorious day. I'm not sure I have the tune right, but I make up my own tunes if I forget them. But it was the message. It was so neat because that was the goal of my life, is to walk with Jesus moment by moment all day long. And so I love that song. But you know, my life has not always been a life that has walked with Jesus, talked with Him, and listened to Him. So I just want to go back and share just a speck of my testimony with you. It was 30 years ago that I realized that I was failing as a mother, and I was failing as a wife. I was failing as a Christian. I was having my own way, but nothing was going right. And God brought me to the point of despair where I was so sick of myself and I was so sick of my sins that I could not bear it any longer. I was finally ready to give Christ complete control of my life. And so I remember this particular evening just giving God all I was and all I had as well as I knew how to do. And that particular night I also remember just cleansing up my life very thoroughly and asking the Lord to forgive me for every sin. Of course I couldn't go back and remember all of them. There were sins of attitudes. There were sins of speech, of the tongue. There were sins of actions. But God knew my heart, and I wrote across that big old list of sins that night. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And I guess what actually took place that night was that I dethroned self and enthroned Christ. And you know, some wonderful things began to happen in my life. And in my life and in our home, it was truly wonderful. And the Lord began to teach me how to walk in the Spirit and how to be filled in the Spirit and how to daily walk in the Spirit. And that just means walking in the Spirit, just means relying upon the Holy Spirit to live in and through you moment by moment of each day. It's learning to be sensitive to what He is urging you to do, to speak or to encourage someone, to call a friend or to write, to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Well, when I was first trying to learn this new way of life, of course, I failed a lot. And my little 2-year-old picked up on my failure one morning. Evidently, that morning I had not had my quiet time early, like God had shown me was to be my pattern. And I was irritable and impatient. And this little 2-year-old son of ours looked up at me with his blue eyes and he said, "Have oo had oo quiet time?" Talk about a knife going through your heart. I thought, isn't that amazing that a 2-year-old can tell the difference that it makes when you've been with Jesus? And then I reflected on that Acts 4:13, where the people said they were amazed and realized what being with Christ had done for them. Well, that episode with that little 2-year-old boy made me determine that I would get up early every morning. I would get in the Word and I would talk with Jesus, and that I would learn to live in a state of dependency upon Him, that I would not wound those about me with whom I lived. So about that time, God put a book in my hand that meant a great deal to me. It was the book by Brother Lawrence. Many of you have probably heard of it, Practicing the Presence of Christ, a life-changing book. Oh, I needed that. He said that we should always set the Lord before us, and that we were to establish ourselves in the presence of the Lord daily. And he said the best way to establish yourself in the presence of the Lord is just to talk with Him off and on all day long. I began to do that. He said you should be aware of Him every minute. try never to lose sight of the Lord. And so I begin to tell the Lord, Lord, I want to be in your presence every moment of every day, if that is possible. Show me how I may walk in the reality of your presence and enjoying your friendship. Well, God began to show me also about this time that in my human relationships with people, when I talked to them, part of that time was spent listening to them. And so God began to talk with me, not only about walking with him and talking with him, but about listening to him. And I heard a statement by Charles Stanley about this time. And he said, one of the most valuable lessons that we can ever learn is how to listen to God. Well, that stirred my heart, and I said, God, I accept your invitation. I want to learn to listen to you. But you see, I was a little bit fearful, and so I claimed James 1:5, and in the Amplified it says, ye who are deficient in wisdom, ask of the giving God, and he will give to you. And then I claim Psalms 32:8 in the Living that says, I will instruct you and guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch your progress. And I said, oh God, I need you to instruct me, to guide me and to advise me. Show me how I'm to listen to you. And so God began to do that. And it seems like when God wants to teach you something new, like learning to listen to him, that he just bombards you from all sides. Have you had that happen? Do you, when he wants to teach you something? Well, everything I read in the Bible seemed to say, listen carefully for fear you drift away from the truth. Or listen, hear what God says. Listen to him speak to you. Or I'd read whole passages and whole stories. And then in my Life Application Bible, I found a chart one day. And it said that God is so willing to communicate with his people that he chose various methods to communicate with them. And then it showed how he came to Mary and to many people, Zacharias and others. He came to them and spoke to them through an angel. To others, he spoke to them through dreams. He spoke by the handwriting on the wall to Belshazzar. And to Balaam, he used a talking donkey. And then he spoke directly to Abraham, Moses, and Jesus at his baptism, and Paul. And I began to read about all these people in the Old and the New Testament that listened for specific instructions, and when they followed it, marvelous events followed. So I begin to believe that not only did God talk to us in the Old and the New Testament about listening to him, and he wanted us to listen to him, but that he would make this available for any of us who chose to listen to him speak to us. So it was a wonderful project that God had put me on. So look at your first handout there in your lap entitled, Why God Speaks Today. God began to show me that he definitely wanted to speak to us. Someone might ask, well, hasn't he already said enough from Genesis through Revelations? But there are several compelling reasons why God still has his lines of communication open with you and I. And he begins to give us about four of those reasons, wonderful reasons. The first reason God wants to speak to us today is because he loves us. Do you believe that? Many people have trouble believing that God loves them. And he wants to have a love relationship with us. How wonderful it is. And when you have a love relationship, you walk and you talk and you listen to that person. And, you know, the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. So this is what God wants for his children. He wants a two-party conversation, him speaking to us through his word or his spirit, and us listening and responding, or us speaking to him and asking him questions and him answering that need of our heart. So it's a wonderful relationship that he has for us. Then the second reason that God desires to speak to us today, you will see there, is that we need his definite and deliberate direction for our lives. This is so crucial. And God showed me in a rather dramatic way how important it is for us to have His direction in life. Our telephone rang one Saturday morning about 9 o'clock, and our pastor was on the line, and he asked for my husband in a rather tense voice, which is unusual for him. And I said, well, he's not here. He's out on errands right now. Could I help? He said, well, we've been out camping all week, you know, and our little son was chopping wood this morning, a 9-year-old, and he's chopped his leg to the bone, and I would like for your husband to fix this. And he said, I think we can be in town in an hour, speed limit. And so I said, well, go ahead and go straight to the office, and I'll have my husband there. Well, as soon as I hung up, I wished I'd listened more carefully when my husband named off where he was going that morning. And I called the drugstore, and I called the barber shop, and I called the cleaners and some of his usual places to go. No husband. So when I hung up the last phone call, I said, God, please help me. Just help me to find my husband in time. And it seemed like as soon as I said that, God reminded me of a verse that I'd been meditating on in the last week or two from Psalms 33, about 13 through 15 from the Living. And it says, the Lord gazes down upon mankind from His home in heaven where He lives. He has made our hearts, and He closely watches everything we do. Well, I said, God, You watch everything we do. You know where my husband is. Would You just tell me where he is? And immediately God spoke. Now, I don't mean He spoke in an audible voice. God impresses us in our inner spirit, and He puts a thought in our mind. And He gave me two words, Ford Place. Well, a couple of weeks before, my husband had said, you know, I've been wanting us to go down to the Ford Place and look at those club wagons we were getting ready to carpool. I said, oh, Lord, he wouldn't go without me, would he? You know how we are as women. But anyway, I got in the car and I started driving toward the Ford Place, and I got halfway there, and the enemy began to tamper with me. And he said, you're going to waste so much time going down here, and he's not going to be down here, and you won't have your husband at that office an hour. He was just harassing me. And I said, Lord, You did say Ford Place, didn't You? And it was if He said, you're almost there, why don't you go on? As soon as I drove up to the plate glass windows, there stood my husband with a salesman. I went in to get him, and as we were leaving, he said, how did you know I was here? And I said, the Lord told me. Made a believer of him and me. Not all the times you hear from God are that dramatic. That was unusual. But you see, God does speak to us today. He wants to help us. Look at the third reason God speaks to us today. He knows we need the comfort and the assurance just as much as the believers of the Bible days. We undergo trials, defeats, challenges, I would say, in there. God knows our need for assurance and confidence. And just 2 weeks ago, I lived through this experience. I was doing a retreat at Fin and Feather for a church in Fort Smith. I really don't do this many kinds of things. I'm usually just Sunday school teaching. But they seem to come close together this time. And I had driven down. It took about 3 hours to get there with a friend, and the leadership for the retreat had taken us through this fantastic buffet line and ushered us back to our hotel, and I had about 30 minutes before I was to share my testimony that night and the next morning. And I was stretched out on the bed trying to relax for about 30 minutes and trying to review my testimony. I hadn't had a lot of time that day to review it. And it just seemed like everything I read was dead and lifeless. I could not concentrate. The sentences did not make sense. It was just awful. And I thought, oh, it seems so dead and lifeless. So my friend had slipped into the restroom, and I just knelt down. And when the enemy gets after me that way, I just begin to quote scripture out loud. And I just said, God, I just claim the enemy bound and defeated in the name of Jesus. And I claim 1 Corinthians 15:57. Thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And 2 Corinthians 2:14, He causes us always to triumph in Christ. Not sometimes or once in a while, but always. And I was really counting on that. or Romans 8:37 that we are overcomers through Christ. So I told my friend when she came out of the restroom that the enemy was really tampering with me and what had happened, and she just earnestly prayed silently. I could just see her really entreating the Lord, and that really comforted me. Then she began to turn through her Bible, and in a few minutes she said, "Kathy, this verse is for you." And it was Psalms 125:1. She and I had been going through the Living Psalms this past summer. It says, "Those who trust in the Lord are steady as Mount Zion, unmoved by any circumstance." And the minute she said that, I said, "You mean you just now found that verse?" That is the verse that God gave me this morning before we left Oklahoma City to claim for this weekend. I couldn't believe it. Out of the whole Bible, she picked the verse I'd claimed that morning. Immediately, this Holy Spirit freed me, and I was free in my spirit to share victoriously there. You see, God knew I needed that comfort. If you could know how weak and inadequate I am, really in and of myself and in the flesh. I had cross eyes for 17 years, and surgery corrected that, and as a result, you have insecurities and inadequacies from teasing from the kids and rejection. So, boy, I claim lots of verses every day. I believe what the Bible says. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. My life is a living testimony of God's confidence and assurance. Well, look at the last reason that God speaks to us. Number 4, I believe the most important reason God is still speaking today is He wants to know us and wants us to know Him. The priority of our lives, I left out a word there, should be to know Him. And it was about this time that I heard a radio preacher say, "God has many servants, but few friends." And it was like a knife, few friends. It was like a knife going through. I had been serving God. And I said, "Oh, Lord, I want to be your friend. I want to know you. I want to know you heart to heart here on this earth until someday I can be with you face to face." And I just begin to develop a friendship with the Lord, just daily walking, talking, and listening to Him. And He showed me this. Have you ever dreamed of a relationship that would meet your deepest needs at every point in life? That's what God offers us, a relationship that will meet the deepest needs of our life. That's what I desired. Well, as I begin to learn to listen to God, He showed me there's 4 ways He speaks to us. The first and the primary way that He speaks to us, Charles Stanley says over and over, is through the Word. If you want to hear God speak to you, and I dare say every single believer in this room has already heard God speak to you many times. He speaks through the Word. Now, the Word is universal truth, but you've all experienced time when a phrase or a little verse was meant personally just for your own ears at that moment to reassure you or to comfort you or to encourage you in some way. So the major way that God speaks to us is through His Word. Open it and read His Word. It's alive and powerful. It's the greatest instruction book in the world. Well, how does this work out in a practical way, you might ask? Instead of going here or there for counseling, begin to open up the Word and ask God your question. He will answer. He will answer through your Word. He might answer that day. He might answer within the week. But He will answer your questions. Just to give you a few illustrations, as I was beginning to walk in this way of life, my Sunday school class noticed the difference in teaching in the flesh and teaching in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I was so excited about what God was teaching me, they became excited and they said, "Oh, can't we just have some time of Bible study during the week so we can learn these things that you're learning?" And a little bit of fear gripped my heart, and I said, "Well, let me pray about it." I knew there were some women in there that knew the Bible a lot better than I did, and I had to get confirmation from the Lord on that one. But I said, "Lord, I'm available if you want this." And so I said, just give me a confirmation through your word that you're in this. Within the week, in my regular place to read, I was reading through the Psalms and the Proverbs and a few other places. In Proverbs 1:23, God highlighted those verses to me a particular morning. And it says, I will pour out my spirit upon you and give you understanding of my word. And while I was reading the word, the Holy Spirit also spoke and said, Kathy, that's what I'll do for you. If I pour out my spirit upon you, and if I give you understanding of my word, you don't need anything else. You can lead that Bible study. So I told them that I would do it. Then I guess one of the greatest ways of all times that God has spoken me through the word is when our daughter was losing her sight. She was a junior at OSU. She had lost the sight of her left eye in high school. When the sight of all of her central vision in the right eye began to go, she was legally blind. She is today legally blind. You never know it to look at her. She carries on life so normal. She is a walking miracle of God's grace. It's marvelous. All she has is a little peripheral vision in the right eye, and she's a mother of three and a joyous and a victorious Christian. But as we were going through this, when Susan came home in the summer, here she had a car in the driveway which she couldn't drive, and I knew that her life would be markedly changed. And when you lose a part of your body, such as eyes or any section, you grieve. And we were going through the grief process. Though we had thanked God for the purpose in that and what we would learn through Him and how He could be glorified through this, we'd gone through the proper steps. We slept peacefully every night as a result of applying 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ. But upon awakening that summer in the morning, I just found little tears coming from my eyes, and I'd never experienced that kind of grief. And if I felt like crying, I would just go and release it, and then I'd get a cold washcloth and wash my face, and I'd go and get my Bible and say, God, I've taught for years that you're the God of all comfort, and I just need you to comfort my heart this morning. Every morning, God gave me a verse. The first morning He gave me Isaiah 66:13. I will comfort you much as a mother comforts her children. I meditated on how precious that truth is. I carried that written on a 3x5 card for several days. It ministered so to me. And I found that the word was so powerful and alive that I was able to focus on the Lord instead of Susan's disaster. I was giving her to Him and her future to Him each day with specific prayers. But my thoughts were on the Lord and the promise He gave me each day. Just some of them were Jeremiah 1:8, I, the Lord, will be with you and see you through. Psalms 121:5, Jehovah Himself is caring for you. Or He knows every detail of what is happening to you. Or I guess one of my favorites, if I can find it here, is Psalms 112:6-9 in the Living. This just ministered to Susan and I so much. I changed the verses to Kathy or woman or whatever's appropriate. Such a woman will not be overthrown by evil circumstances, for God's constant care of her will make a deep impression on all who see it. She does not fear bad news, nor live in dread of what may happen, for she is settled in her mind that Jehovah will take care of her. Susan and I would often quote that as we'd go to the doctor's office. So the power of the word to allow God to speak to us, it was alive and powerful, and it daily comforted us. Then the second way that God speaks to us is through His Holy Spirit. And if we walk in the Spirit daily, surrendered to His power, we have the right to expect anything we need to hear from God. In fact, that should be our normal, natural lifestyle of the believer, to be able to ask God and have Him answer questions, to hear Him speak to us through the Word and guide us. Several illustrations of this. One, I was serving on a pulpit committee in a church, and they decided to go with a much younger man chronologically and so spiritually. And I hadn't sensed God's leadership on that man as I served on the committee, and I'd let that be known, but they decided to go with him. So the next Monday morning in my quiet time, I said, Lord, I've been claiming several verses on this, and I have really trusted you in this circumstance, but I just don't understand. And as clear and as specific as a direction I've ever heard from the Lord came to me, and he gave me the name of a specific man whose name I had to look up in the phone book, and said, call him and ask him if he would be interested in being a pastor of a new Southern Baptist church. Well, I was so excited that I called my husband. He said, I'll come home if you want me to be on the other line. But he said, you must call today and obey God. Out of that came Heritage Baptist Church. It was not my work. It was God's work. For when this man answered the phone, there was weeping at the other end. And he said, 7 years ago, God told me that I was to be a pastor, and that he would raise up my church, that I was not to seek it, that he would raise it up. How exciting to hear from God. The Christian life is fun. It's believable. Well, just some simple little things. Sometimes when I'm just ready to make the wrong response to my husband or someone else, a verse that I've committed to memory, love will hardly even notice when others do it wrong. Zap! It comes to me and I stop right there and I realize I can't make that bitter, ugly response, and God puts a guard on my tongue. Or another verse that God has given me sometimes is, love does not demand its own way. Just, I'm about ready to do that, and God protects me from that. We can also teach our children to listen to the voice of the Lord. A little 5-year-old girl had colored in her father's business book, and her mother had been used to dealing with her in this manner. And she said, why don't you just go to your room and think about what you've done and just talk to Jesus about it. And the mother went to her room in a few minutes, and the little girl looked up at her and she said, Mother, he told me I shouldn't have colored in the book, but he still loves me. So little children can learn. Our son, as a 7th grader, was fearful when he had to give a big social studies report. It was a good report, but he was in a new class and a new school, and it was a big class, and he was kind of bashful, and we'd prayed with him for over a week about that, and we'd been teaching them how to live this way of life because they were Christians. And we said, well, Mark, when the person before you is speaking, just be careful to cleanse up your life and put the Spirit in control and ask the Lord to speak through you. He was doing this as the boy before him was speaking, and all of a sudden God just spoke to him. He gave him a really neat introduction. Mark got so excited about the introduction that he forgot he was fearful. And when he came home that day, he said, Mom, God did it. He said, I spoke beyond my ability. I know it was God speaking through me. So children can learn to hear the voice of the Lord also. Now, a third way that God speaks to us is through godly people, your pastors, your teachers, speakers. At a meeting like this, they can speak directly to the heart of a situation you have in your life, and that's God speaking to you through that person. I was sharing one time in my Sunday school class how our husbands, when we're married, we are to be under their authority. And we are to listen what they have to say because God speaks through our men as our protector and our provider. And a woman came up tearfully after class and she said, I have just not obeyed this. My husband has been begging me for weeks to go home to his family, and it is always a hard situation. His father offended a bunch of them 4 or 5 years ago, and it's always a bad scene, and I just didn't want to go. And I said, well, what do you feel like God's leading you to do now? She said, to go home and ask forgiveness of my husband and tell him I will go whenever he wants to go. They went in a few weeks, and it was a wonderful weekend. That father had realized the error of his ways. He asked the son, who was her husband, forgiveness. The son asked forgiveness. The whole family got into it. It was a healing weekend. They laughed. They cried. She said it was the most wonderful weekend we've ever had with his family. And 2 weeks later, this woman in my Sunday school class, her husband, dropped dead of a heart attack. She said, what if we hadn't gone home for that healing? I don't think I could have gone through that funeral. It would have been so hard. So we need to listen, knowing that at times God will speak to us through other people. Then a fourth way God speaks to us is through circumstances. It may be failure, success, disappointment, tragedy. I wish I could give you some more illustrations on that, but time doesn't allow. But I believe you may be convinced by now that God actively speaks to us, so it behooves us to listen intently to what he has to say. For Psalms 85:8 says, I will hear what the Lord will speak. So look at, turn over your handout, or I think you turn it over. No, I'm going to share some other things with you first. How do you begin to listen to God? Let's cover that first. How do you begin to listen to God? I want to make this as practical as I can today. There's really no single approach. I have read and listened to many people who are listeners, and I've asked them lots of questions. And a lot of them say that they have learned to approach God by journaling. Now, journaling is just writing out your prayers with a pen. Bill Hybels in his book, Too Busy Not to Pray, and Joyce Huguet in her book, The Joy of Listening to God, give us many ways that we may approach God and come to him in silence after praying and anticipate him speaking to us. And Bill Hybels said, you know, I'm just geared up so high that I wake up in the morning charged, ready to go. And he said, it is so hard to slow my mind, my racing mind down and my racing body down and listen to God. So he's found a way for him. He writes out his prayers. And he uses the balanced praying method that most of you are familiar with, ACTS, A-C-T-S. He writes out a paragraph adoring the Lord. He writes out a paragraph confessing, and he says in a month he goes back and looks at those, and if he sees repeated sins, that helps him to deal with them and not just forget them. He writes out his thanksgiving in four areas, material, physical, spiritual, blessings, and a person or two a day that he's especially thankful for. Then his supplications, which includes intercession and petition for himself. And then he just kneels and prays through that and adds to whatever God lays on his heart. And he says that has helped him to calm down his racing mind and body and to become quiet in his spirit. And when he's centered and focused on God, then he invites him to speak to him. Well, he may ask him several questions. He asks him, what's next in my ministry, Lord? Or what can I do today to show my love for my wife or my children? Or God, where do I need to work in character, to build character, godly character? He said God always speaks to him on that one. And he would just ask specific things. Is there someone you want me to minister today? A special person whose life you want me to encourage or enrich? And then he just gets a sheet of paper and writes listen at the top and circles it. And he listens for God to speak to him. He writes down what God says to him. That's extremely important because later the enemy can get hold of you and twist that sometimes. So it's good to write down and record what he says to you. One of the men at Glorietta, James Harvey, who's at our Sunday school board, said that he likes to write in a record book, and he's keeping a record of it on his shelves for his children. And he writes maybe two or three days a week, and he writes his meditation thought for that morning. Then he records what's going on in he and his wife's life and his son's life and his grandchildren's life. Later on, they will enjoy reading that, and it will be a record of his walking and talking and what he prayed for the family members. That would be a wonderful heritage for some of you young mothers, or even ones my age. We could start and do something like that and record what God is saying to us. What a ministry and a blessing that would be to our children. Well, out of these moments, power comes out of stillness. Strength comes out of solitude. Decisions that change the whole course of our life come out of these times of quietness. And whatever you ask the Lord, you are going to be amazed at the way he leads. He may bring a verse to your mind that will answer the need of the moment. He may open up a whole passage to you that will help you understand a situation you're going through. He may just make his presence so incredibly real to you that he will just bring a peace to your heart. He may, a lot of times for me, it's really practical things. God is a practical God. He just shows me how to order my day. Do you ever feel overwhelmed some mornings like I do with all the things you have to do? I just ask him to order my day, and I write down all those things, and I let him number 1, 2, 3 according to my priorities. God, my husband, my children, my home, and my ministry. And I just let God order my day that way. So it is wonderful what God will do. Sometimes he just tells me to love my husband more. You've just been busy. You've been neglecting him. And I always feel kind of bad when he tells me that. But boy, I start turning on the love because I know that's what God's told me to do. And he just tells us practical things like that. Labor Day, I just said, Lord, is there something you want to say to me this morning? I knew that I needed to type Saturday morning's notes for that retreat, and I had that one morning to do it, and I'd been working on it off and on for some time and reading and praying. Had my outline, but I need to fill it in and type it up. And he just laid on my heart Oswald Chambers' book. I bought his new book that's translated, that's a little easier for us to understand. I'd had it a month, but I was in some other devotional books and I hadn't read it. He just put it on my heart, said, get that. Why don't you look up today, September the 6th. You know what that verse was? He who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ will have rivers of living water. I mean, it released the spirit in me. I said, Lord, that's exactly what I need, is your rivers of living water to type this today. As I went through my outline, I'd say, God, I'm ready for some more rivers to flow. In 2 hours, I had 8 pages. It was the easiest I've ever done anything in my life. I tell you, it is fun to hear from God. It is wonderful to live the Christian life. He tries to help us. Now, I should say to you that sometimes when we're listening to God, the results are not always specific insight. Sometimes you just experience a peace or a settledness in your mind that God will act. You don't know just how or when, but he will act. He will meet your need there. Or sometimes as a listener, we hear nothing. I'm trying to help you so you won't fear these moments. It may just be a companionable quietness that leaves you calm and peaceful. You know how you can be anxious and overwhelmed some mornings? And boy, just going to the Lord and meeting with him and listening to him just calms me down. He helps me know everything is going to be done decently and in order. So it's wonderful. There's a wonderful verse in Psalms 25:14 from the Amplified, and it says that we may enjoy the sweet, satisfying presence of the Lord. That's what he does for us when we come to him. Well, there are also some times when you may experience empty silence. And I don't dread that as much as I used to, because I know in the next few days or weeks, God's going to put a book in my hands that will answer that, or he's going to have a person tell me what I need to hear, or he himself will give me a thought. So I go on my way knowing that he is going to answer that need of my heart and that question I have. Now, Bill Hybels says that he likes his way of quieting his mind, but he said, I recognize this is not for everyone, so listen carefully. We're going to give you a few more suggestions. He said some people just like to talk to God quietly, and after they've prayed and talked to God, their heart is quiet. They may direct a question to the Lord and wait in silence for him to speak to them. Or some people are good at meditating. They don't write a thing. They don't talk out loud. They just meditate on a verse from their quiet time that morning. And in the meditating process and thinking that through, the Holy Spirit begins to speak to them. And it's a wonderful thing. Or some of you may be like I am. I love to sing. And I sing a lot. And one Monday morning, I was just so tired, I took my pillow out to my patio. I hadn't been on that swing all summer. I thought it was about time. The summer was more than half over. And I was so tired. And I've been taking my hymn book and just trying to sing and just worship the Lord early in my quiet time. And I just sung 2 or 3 hymns. And, oh, I was resting. And I could just feel the strength coming into my body. And I was really tired that morning. I don't know why. But as I sang, the strength began began to come, and all of a sudden, God just began to pour some things through my heart. I always have my spiral notebook, my Bible, and my pen, and I just sat up and began to write. And 2 pages later, I had the introduction to one of my openings at the retreat. I tell you, it's fun to hear from God. He is trying to make our life easier. Well, those are some of the ways God may speak to us. And it's not so important to have a particular method to follow, but just find a way that works for you, you see. And custom design an approach that will slow down your mind and your body. That's the hardest thing for you. Okay, we have 2 more pages to look at in 5 minutes. Turn up your spiritual antenna, and we're going to go fast. This next page, I typed it up word for word, because I'm just going to mention the 5 points and go on. But this little song I have to sing, Jean Bartlett wrote it, and I love it. God has something to say to you. God has something to say. Listen, listen, pay close attention. God has something to say. This is how we listen to God. Now, Charles Stanley tells us that listening isn't something that we come into the world automatically knowing how to do. It's something we have to train ourselves to do. And he gives us 5 major tools that will help us look at them. First, we should ask lots of questions. That's the major way God's changed my life. I ask God questions all day long, off and on all day long. He just answered them while I'm walking down the hallway in my house when I'm driving my car. It's wonderful. Second tool, we should anticipate God speaking to us. I got lost one time when I was out of town, and I just said, God, help. Here came a police car right around me, pulled up right in front of me. It was going on real fast until I started flashing my lights and tuning my horn, and he came to my help. Anticipate God hearing you and meeting your need. Third, we should respond to what we hear. That's extremely important. He just laid on my heart for me to go see a girl named Lolly 2 weeks ago. Her mother died the day before. Her heart was ready. She invited Christ in. So anticipate and respond. Do what he tells you to do. Respond to that. Four, we should be alert to confirming events. If you're not sure it's God speaking, to say, God, could you confirm that for me? I'm not sure I'm hearing you. It's a growing knowing, and God wants you to learn to hear him. He will help you all the way. And then fifth, we should ask God to speak to us. Just ask him to speak to you. Most of the nights now, since I've read this, I lay down and I just ask God to speak me, solve my problems, do whatever he knows is best for me in my life. One time he waked me up with 2 different skits on my heart. It's just wonderful how creative our God is. Then you can see the wonderful results of hearing from God. We have a new perspective, peace, personal intimacy, and so forth. Now look at your last sheet. We will cover this quickly. I just felt like when we're talking about learning to listen to God, you must know that there will be several other voices that might tamper with you. The voice of self may speak to you in first-person pronouns, I, me, or mine. And those, the voice of the Spirit can confuse you. So listen how it speaks. Oh, poor old me, I'm a failure, I'm unworthy. One girl told me I'm a zero. And or the flesh can be so forceful that it just wants to plow its way ahead. Now, suppose we could just put up on this wall all the thoughts that you had last week. We would know in a few minutes where you were spiritually. Our thoughts are extremely important, what we think we are. So notice this. Notice that it's important to know what voice is speaking to you. And I want to show you the difference between the voice of Satan and the voice of the Holy Spirit so you can distinguish them. First of all, when we fail to listen to God, often we listen to the wrong voices. So be aware of that. But Satan comes to you. He harasses you. You can read all this later. He accuses you. He condemns you. Often he's very vague. It's just like a cloud of gloom hanging over you. But notice the last 2 lines. Satan accuses you only to bring despair, bondage, and striving. He just told me hundreds of times, Kathy, you'll never make it in the Christian life. Why don't you just quit? That's despair. Or bondage, he binds me up so that I'm not free to be used of him and share his love. Or he makes me feel like I need to pray more, read my Bible more, give more, witness more. I mean, how much is enough? He gets you on that performance basis. So don't listen to him. Don't strive in the flesh. But notice the sweet voice of the Holy Spirit. It's clear, it's specific, it's gentle, it's kind. You need to write in one thing I forgot. The Holy Spirit comes to us in sweet, persuasive oughtness. O-U-G-H-T-N-E-S-S. I ought to do this. I ought to do that. I believe the Holy Spirit gives us many suggestions all day long as we learn to listen to him. Now look at about the last six lines and we'll close out here. The Holy Spirit convicts only to bring comfort, freedom, and rest. He may say, Kathy, that was a partial truth you told your husband. Or that was irritability or an impatience. And the moment he comes to you with a specific sin, it's always specific, confess it immediately, and you have comfort, freedom, and rest again. Because you see, God anticipated our sin, and he settled that forever in Christ on Calvary. So a momentary asking forgiveness brings it. So learn to distinguish. If you feel lower than a snake, if it's negative thoughts, if he encourages you to do harsh, unkind things, that's not God's way. You know, that's the voice of the enemy. And learn to listen and distinguish between these voices. I pray that as a result of our sharing today, that you will want to hear the voice of the Lord and let him speak to you daily.